talking about knowing the one true God, and Hosea has been called the Book of Warning. I think I've got that up there. Yes, the Book of Warning. When you think of prophecy, oftentimes there's something that's going to happen in the future. What's going to be like at the end of the time, at the end of the age? Prophecy, let's study what it says. I, on the other hand, take the view that prophecy is warnings for us today. Right now, you want to know what's happening in the future. Like my dad used to always say, if you don't change your ways, you're going to be in trouble. Is that prophecy? You betcha. And that's the same thing that Hosea is saying for us some 2,700 years ago, an Old Testament prophet. Let's overlook him. And I think if we overlook him, it's to our detriment, for sure. It's a book of warning. We read through here, yeah, I think that the most popular thing about Hosea is that he had to marry a prostitute. And that's where the story ends. Well, no, that's not where the story ends. There's about 12 more chapters after that episode. But it's a book of warning, and I think it's a book of warning for the ignorant. The ignorant, not those, it's not ignorance like you wouldn't have gone to school. You haven't gone to college. You don't have a master's degree. You don't have a PhD. It's not that kind of ignorance. We're talking our conferences based on knowing the one true God from John 17:3. But that necessity of knowing the one true God, you can find that all through the Scripture. That's what God wanted Adam and Eve to do, to know Him. And they thought they knew better than God. Now, doesn't that make you feel a little trembly to think that you could find something better than God? You don't know Him well enough if you think there's something better. That's all I got to say. That's the kind of ignorance that Hosea is talking about. It says, be ignorant of Yahweh. As Hosea said in Hosea, one of the other famous verses, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not about the cosmos. It's not knowledge about Mars or the rings of Saturn or the moons of Saturn. It's about Him. How does He want us to live? I think that knowledge brings life. That's where it is, knowing Him. We can know about people. We can know about movie stars, sports figures. We can know about, you know, who Brett Favre plays for and who he used to play for and where he lives. But do you know him? Will he let you come to his house and sit down and hang out? You don't know him. You know who he is. And I think a lot of us, a lot of people, not us, a lot of people, well, they tell us, a lot of people have that kind of knowledge of God. Well, I know who he is. He's in the Bible. He lives in heaven. But do you hang out with him? You see, that's the thing. That's the thing. And so God warns them. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But I'm going to go out on a limb with all these smart individuals here that he's not talking about a lack of knowledge of doctrine. You don't know all the church doctrine. There's somebody here yesterday saying it doesn't take a theologian. It does not take a theologian to read the Scriptures and hear what it says. It's not a doctrinal statement read in Greg Boyd's book. Sure, yeah. You want to know about how strict and true and correct all somebody with doctrine is. Calvin understood Calvinism pretty well, didn't he? When he sent Servetus to his death. It wasn't doctrine that Calvin had a lack of knowledge of. It was a fear of who God is. That's what it was, you see. So we can have the doctrine straight right down the line. I've asked in Sunday school classes, what kind of a person is it? What kind of a person is he? He knows all the Church of God doctrine, every one, right down the line. How good of a person is he? And I've always been asked back, how does he live? It's not what we believe, it's how we live. It's not a knowledge of traditions. of how things are supposed to work. I've lost my place. It's a lack of a knowledge of Yahweh, who He is. And that ignorance, I'm going to go out on another limb. I'm saying that ignorance is deadly. People are dying because they don't know who He is. Is that? Do you know who He is? Do you know somebody that doesn't know? You think you ought to share it with them? He talked to the boss about that. This deadly ignorance is found here in Hosea 4:14. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with the ritual harlot. Therefore, people do not understand. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled, destroyed. And I have to link this passage, this verse up with Proverbs chapter 7. The last in chapter 7 of Proverbs, where it talks about the harlot looking out her window and sees this simple man, one who lacks understanding, and she gets all dressed up to go out and lure this fella in, and she says to him things like, come on in, I've got my house all cleaned up, my husband's gone, he's taking a bag of money with him, he's not coming back tonight, let's go in and have our fill of love. You know, I have to read these last verses from Proverbs 7. Because it speaks right to today. I mean, in my mind, there's no doubt about it. In Proverbs chapter 7, with her enticing speech, this is verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Watch some television commercials. You know, that's what they do. Immediately he went after her like an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till the arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost him his life. He didn't know that. It's an immediate thing. I want my pleasure now, but I don't care about the consequences, you see. He didn't know. And this chapter concludes, now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. Oh, no, you can't. Her house is the way of hell, descending to the chambers of death. Go on in. Somebody else had termed this whole thing a banquet in the grave. You're all invited. You want to go? Well, Israel forgot this particular lesson. They forgot that. And more than that, several times this is brought out in Hosea chapter 2, verse 13. She, referring to Israel as God's wife, she forgot me. She went after her own lover. Just like in Proverbs, this woman said, my husband's gone, he took a bag of money, come on in, let's have our fill of love. And they're saying in Israel, God can't see what's going on. God doesn't know what's happening. Hosea 5:4, they do not know Yahweh. They don't know. Which leads to or stems from habits that are going to lead us away from God. They don't know me, God says. None among them call on me. They use my name, but they don't call on me. There's other things they go after. Hosea 8:14. Israel has forgotten his maker. They built temples, fortified cities. Israel did this for themselves. And in the chapter 8, verse 14, God says, I'm going to destroy them. They think they've got these pretty temples. They've got these fortified cities. I'm going to destroy them to show them who's who and what's what. None of them exalt him. They invoke his name, but they don't exalt him. They were filled, as Hosea 13:6. They were filled, but they forgot me. Here, you know, prosperity has its dangers, and when people under, in the name of Jesus, are preaching prosperity, I don't know where they're going. I don't even want to go with them. Prosperity is going to lead people away from God if they don't understand what it's for. That parable of the man who had a big harvest, tore down his barns to build bigger barns, and he said, what am I going to do? I'm going to tear them down, build bigger ones, I'm going to take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to retire and live a good life. You fool, God said. Well, the foolishness, I think, is that he didn't get to enjoy any of it, and it was all given away to somebody else. We get a windfall. One of the first things I would think of is, how can I bless somebody else with what I've got? You see, being rich toward God helps us in times of prosperity not think how we're going to spend it on ourselves, but how we're going to share it with others. So, what can we learn about Yahweh from Hosea? What is it that we can learn? You know, we don't have time to go through all 14 chapters, so I'm going to give you a quick, this is my quick snap. You know, you might come up with better ones, but these are the ones we've got. It's like a contract where I saw his cards. It said, you can never pay more. Let's see, you can always find better, but you'll never pay more. Think about that. Anyway, these are mine. You probably can find better ones than I have, but this is what we've got. First of all, sin in our lives, we need to know these things about God. Sin in our lives can cause us to be castaways. I don't care how secure you think you might be, and I believe that thought of security comes when I want to go off and do my own thing. You know, it's like, we're getting ready for a vacation. I've got to stop and think, do I have enough money? Do I have transportation? Do I have all these things? And when I want to go off and sin, I've got to think, am I still going to be all right with God? Am I still going to be all right with Jesus? Am I still going to be saved even after I do these kind of things? Because a person who is truly living for God doesn't concern himself with whether I'm going to be saved or not. They know it, you see. So it's not the security thing. It really isn't an issue. But we can become castaways. I'm convinced of it. And I know Anthony's going to talk a little later this morning about that very thing. So I'm not going to say too much, except this. Hosea 9:17 says, my God will cast them away because they did not obey him. Now, I'm not a smart guy. Israel was in a covenant with God. Israel was God's covenant people. He made a promise with them, with Abraham and Isaac and David. He said, I'm going to throw them away because they do not obey me. I'm going to cast them away. I know we're in a new covenant now, but it's with the same God. It's the same kind of covenant. It might be called new covenant, but there is no, hey, once you're in, you're okay. I don't think. Maybe I'm seeing it wrong. The new covenant is free license. Live like you want. God's got to save you now. You got him. You snookered him. You scammed God. No. What does Paul say in Galatians? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whether it's in the flesh or to the spirit. And if you don't want to obey him, I think even today, under the new covenant, there is still a way to a reason to fear being a castaway. And you don't have to take my word for it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body and I bring it under subjection. I work hard at that, Paul says, because after I've preached the gospel to others, I myself might become disqualified or cast off. The Apostle Paul. Who wants to say, oh, I live better than the Apostle Paul here in this room? And Paul was concerned about it. I think I would be concerned about it. You see, that's one of the things we need to know about people in Christian circles today, I don't think they even want to go there. They don't want to go there because it's like too uncomfortable. So we'll stay away from it. Well, he wants us to be right and faithful. Right and faithful to him. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, so you, by the help of your God, return. He's calling Israel back to himself. But you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. All the time. Not just when you're in trouble. All the time. You see, and here we have, I think we can see the two great commandments in this verse. Reverse, however, mercy and justice is for others, waiting on God is obviously for him. So we're going to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind by waiting on him in one way, and we're going to treat others with mercy and justice. You see, that's what he wants. His plan for my life. What's God's will for me? He wants you to show mercy and justice and wait on him continually. You got that under your belt? You'll find out what the next step is. I'm convinced of that. Isaiah tells us this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you know that about God? Have you experienced that about God? Waiting on him continually. Waiting on him when you can't go any further and experiencing him renewing your strength. It is a wonderful thing. Once you know that about him, waiting is much, much less difficult, for sure. But he wants us to be right with other people, and he wants us to be faithful toward him. That's another thing he wants us to know. He wants us to know him personally. Get personal with him. Here in Hosea chapter 13, verse 4, he says, yet I am Yahweh your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. So, I'm not going to go there. There is no Savior. There is no God but me, and there is no Savior but me. I think the question might come up, well, isn't Jesus our Savior? I heard that. Somebody said yesterday, talking about Jesus as our Savior. Well, if there is Jesus as our Savior, and there is no Savior besides God, then, well, let's step back a minute. We had a talk yesterday about the agency of God. I recall that talk. It was a very good one. God is the Savior because he sanctioned Jesus Christ to do it. And I'll tell you this, that if God doesn't sanction it, it ain't going to happen. Moses was God's sanctioned deliverer for the Israelites in Egypt. Before he was that sanctioned deliverer, he tried to do it. It didn't work. There were a number of people listed in the book of Acts that were some sort of people that were like deliverers. God didn't sanction them and they came to nothing. And so they said, well, if God's with us, we can't fight against it, but if it's of men, it won't last anyway. You see, if God doesn't sanction it, there is no Savior. That's how he is, our Savior, and there is none other. None other. He wants us to know that. And so there is the other whole issue about idolatry, modern idolatry, that we don't have time to go into this morning for sure. But that's what it falls into. What are we looking for? What are we trusting in? What are we hoping will give us, but only God will give us? He is our Savior. He is. And there's things out there that people lust for, long for, work hard for, strive for, because they think this is going to help me somehow. This is going to make things better somehow. You got struggles and difficulties in your life, and so a bottle of whiskey is going to make that all better. Well, for how long? as long as you don't think about it, but it ain't going to help nothing. But people get caught in that, you see, because that becomes their savior. That becomes their idol. And there is no other savior. God wants us to know that. It's like Jesus said, and here it is in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what he wants us to know. That's where eternal life is. That's where it is. Those are some of the things I think that Hosea was talking about as far as the ignorance was concerned in Israel. And I am convinced, until somebody proves me wrong, but that same ignorance is alive and well in this world. It is running rampant. It is unbelievable, the stories I hear. Talking with Anthony and other people from out and around, it's just unbelievable. Hosea was appointed by our Heavenly Father to try to break that ignorance 2,700 years ago, you know, and it's still hanging around. So I think the more we get to know who God is, the more we have a part in destroying that ignorance too. All right? Are you ready for this? Here's some more purpose for your life. More of what God wants out of you. All right? Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts and don't put anything outside the car till the ride is over. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. God's own people. You. Does that make you feel special? Huh? In honor of all the world, you are God's royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a holy chosen generation, his special people. And this is why, so that we might proclaim the praises of him who called us out of that darkness and ignorance into his marvelous light. You, because you've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light that God has shed upon us through Jesus Christ, you've been here, you've been called there to proclaim his praises out of this ignorance. So, I think what we need to do is, as it says here in 1 Peter 3:15, to sanctify God in your heart and always be ready. Always be ready, not for the Lord's return, that's not in this verse, but always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear. So how does this apply to Hosea? Hosea had to marry a woman. She was a prostitute. They had 3 children. Now we don't know. Maybe it wasn't Hosea. All we know is that Gomer had these children, and God said, this is what you're going to name them. And now, here we have a man of God, somebody that should be held in high esteem among the nation. You've got a wife that's a prostitute, and you've got these illegitimate children, perhaps. What's that all about? And Hosea can say, God wanted me to do this to let you guys know that this is exactly how you are with him. You see, he was ready to give an answer. He certainly didn't have any hope, but he gave an answer for the situation of his life. We have a hope in the kingdom. Are you ready to tell somebody why that hope is so important in your life? Why is waiting for Jesus so important? Why is looking forward to the kingdom so important? Why is it in your life that you're always talking about that kingdom? You see, now you can dispel darkness. Now you can dispel ignorance. Now you can break through some of those kinds of things. That's what I think we have a part in, because we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people for that reason. There's darkness and ignorance in the world that you're not living under anymore, I hope. You can go out in the world and dispel that ignorance. Help people understand. So, you need to get to know Yahweh. Setting him in your heart. Sanctifying him in your heart. We call this a sanctuary sometimes. And then sometimes it's called God's house. God lives in you. You bring him in, he's here. He lives in you. Your heart should be a sanctuary. Okay? Set apart in your heart. Then be ready to give a reason you have hope in him. Right? Yeah, now wait a minute. There's a qualification to this. You have to do it with meekness and not being overbearing. And not being a know-it-all. Well, if you were as smart as I am, you wouldn't be having any trouble. No. We don't want to get into the traditional religious mindset that you're just an ugly, dirty sinner. And you got to come over here so I can wash you up. No. I don't cleanse anybody. I'm just the messenger. There's a passage in Hosea or Jeremiah that came to my attention here a couple of weeks back. It talked about the seer. Let the one know, the one who dreams dreams, let him tell those dreams honestly. And the prophet, let him prophesy honestly. Because God says, what is the chaff or what is the straw to the wheat? The wheat's the message, I'm just the straw. And you know what they do with straw? They leave it. Because what's important is the wheat. I can't be overbearing. How can I be overbearing? Well, I could be, I know. But reasonably and justifiably, I can. Can't be a know-it-all. So the last three questions are you ready to do it? You ready to dispel some ignorance? Well, if you need some help, there's a lot of people around here today that can help you do that. If you need some help, I said, well, I don't know what to say. Anthony probably pretty much said 80% of everything that can possibly be said. There's help available if you need it, but don't be afraid to ask. And don't forget to look continuously on God, because he's the one that gives us the strength and the help when we need that kind of thing.